So my name is Olenka Vištica. I'm a producer in my real life, and I'm here as a creator and co-founder of the Museum of Broken Relationships. So we come from Croatia.
Vištica.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay, let me see you now. My name is Dražen Grubišić. I'm an artist, co-creator of the Museum of Broken Relationships, an art project that started some 10 years ago.
I read a magazine article a few years back about your museum, and so when I heard you were doing something here, I was really excited. But tell me a little bit about the museum. How did the idea come about, and how did you get it started as, you know, something people could actually come and visit?
Actually, it started as couple of sentences on a scrap of paper while we were breaking up, like years ago. I think it's a decade ago, even more. So, and actually it was never meant to be a place, an actual museum to visit in a way. So our thoughts were more abstract, like creating the space where heritage of a broken relationships, because we were breaking up at the moment, could be preserved, how to preserve emotions, how to remember what was good and maybe forget what was bad, and what to do in a moment when you feel really alone and, you know, starting a new page in your life. And then 2 years after, I think Dražen called me and said, you remember that idea we had? Maybe we could make an art project and apply to an art show in Croatia and make an installation and actually offer to people the same experience, to donate an object representing their broken relationship, accompanied by a personal story and an anonymous story of the person who was donating the object. And it was a smash hit from the start.
What were the objects from your relationship that you used?
It was just one object, one wind-up toy, bunny. That was the only object from our side, the first one. And we really had no idea what to expect. We were like, oh, what happens if we get just letters and plushy toys and pretty boring stories? But to our surprise, people, first of all, they came with really different things and such amazing stories, so different. The fiction can never be that interesting as real life. That's really, it showed up as a true sentence.
What did that wind-up toy mean about your relationship? Why was it important?
For us, it was, we never wanted to create like a temple to our past love. So the bunny was something really not pretentious, and it was a toy we were taking with us when we were traveling without the other around the world. So it kind of represented the nature of our relationships, that vagabond traveling, more time apart than together. So it was just a little token, because we thought if you want other people to join in and participate, you have to be sincere. So you have to start by yourself, but we never wanted it to be such a, something that would eat up the rest of the stories, because it's human experience like any other. So we just started the ball rolling, and I think other people who have contributed are also creators of the museum as ourselves, and that's a great thing.
You didn't want it to be about your relationship, you wanted it to be about relationships.
No, we didn't want it that much that I think first couple of years we didn't even say that this was ours. Years later, one question arose, like, did you contribute something? We said, yeah, we did this one.
Here's something that I find really intriguing, that you two broke up many years ago, and I would guess that now you spend at least as much time together as you did when you were a couple. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Do you ever think about that? That we broke up. Why are we still, you know, why are we still together? And this whole thing is about the fact that we broke up, and yet it is the thing that is keeping us, at least, you know, in proximity together.
I think so. And when you ask what your object is, I think our object is the whole museum, because that's the thing that enabled us to kind of transform our relationship, our romantic relationship before, into something more durable and I would say more rewarding now with everything that happens around this project. So yeah, I'm aware that sounds weird to people, so they say, you invented this thing so you could travel around the world together, which is not the case.
What is the impetus for people sharing their objects and their stories? Why would somebody want something of theirs to be in the museum or in a show like this one in Boise?
Well, if you can recall last time you broke up, there is this period when it really hurts to look at some of the objects that in a way are so full of memory and that they mean a lot just to you. Nobody else can see them with your eyes. And just being able to, in a way, get rid of this, but not get rid in a negative sense of negative meaning, like burn it and throw it away and so on, which is often the case that you can, if you read the newspaper, the magazines, the all the advice that you get, it's pretty negative. It's like, yeah, just throw it away, forget it, and start new, start fresh, like never happened. For us, it's simply rude, so to say, to do that, because if you spend some part of your life with somebody, I guess most of the times it was good. It didn't work out at the end, but okay, life is not a fairy tale. You didn't live forever and happily forever after. So being able to put this somewhere else where it will become part of something bigger, it will change the context. It will also help you, because just this process of sitting down and writing it on a piece of paper, you know, getting your thoughts and just letting it go, it is sort of a ritual. So I think that would be the main reason, I think.
Do people have different motivations for giving you their stuff?
Probably they do, yeah. So you can feel it in the stories. So people who have, you know, you feel if they are still angry, so if they are donating in a vengeful mood or something, or other people who are at ease and they really want to share the story. But I would say it's more, especially after so many years museum has been around, that people want to share things and feel as a part of community in this story of love and loss, you know, and of being a part of human race. Because if you read all the stories, no matter when they come, where they come from, they are, the feeling is the same. So it's just you, like going on a concert and you listen to a song, and when people join in and sing, it's like they recognize that feeling. So I think that would be the main motive for people to participate. At least I would like to, but of course.
Yeah, I mean, some people see it as an opportunity to put it on a pedestal, that the love they had, not in a bad way, just really like they think they want to share their love story. Although it didn't work out, but they're grateful for the time that it happened.
For others, is it about trying to forget the relationship or trying to move past it somehow?
I think it's moved past it. We did get a couple of, so to say, thank you notes where somebody, his life moves forward after donating. And I mean, it's pretty understandable, because just being able to let go of an object that symbolizes something means you're ready for something new.
But it's very, I would say, the process of remembering and forgetting, it's a very tricky process. So what we remember and what we forget, we basically choose that. So you can see that in the stories, how they are created. So people ask us, is this true or not? But once you sit down and you try to recreate something that's past, it's already a work of your imagination in a way. So it's as much forgetting as remembering, I would say. Yeah.
Why come to Boise?
So we get invitations from art spaces or galleries directly, but sometimes people see the exhibit somewhere else and they want it to come to their city. So that was the case here. So I met Samantha Silva, who came to San Francisco to our exhibition and wrote us an email and said she saw it in London and it was very touching, and that she would like to bring it to Boise. And then Jason and Mim Studios came in, and you can feel that people really, really care. So I think we are really happy to be here. And it's always interesting to come to places you would never plan on your bucket list, but then, you know, meeting people and yeah.
But Boise is pretty small city. It's far away from any other cities. You'll have a much smaller audience here than you would nearly anywhere else you chose to go in this country.
Well, it's not that much about the audience. It's more of the stories that you get. And the stories, I could even say stories tend to be more interesting in smaller places than in big ones.
Why is that?
Maybe because people are more connected and they try harder and they have better relations with other people, and so it goes deep, sort of.
Sense of community.
What kind of things have you gotten from people in this area?
Oh, we got a lot of wedding rings.
Wedding rings. Like in Idaho, it's a big deal.
Would you show me some of the things that you got from here?
Yes.
For example, this one is Idaho.
It's a very big kitchen knife.
Yes. Yeah.
Sharp one. A lady that her husband didn't have much confidence in her culinary skills and what she does with knives and so on. So at the end, she says that now she has her own set of knives and they're shiny and sharp and she's cooking just fine. In a way, she's doing just fine now.
Now, this one right here really stands out to me. I see it's from England,
yes.
But it's a book,
it's a fun
I Can
one.
Make You Thin. It's a self-help book or something?
Yeah, and I like, if you read the first sentence tells it all. This was a present from my ex-fiancé. Need I really continue?
So what's the story with this very long wedding veil here?
The story is not that long, but it's quite funny, because she tried it once, getting married when she was 20, and of course it didn't work out. So the next one was 30 years later as a renewal ceremony office by an Elvis impersonator. And her husband stepped all over it with his sparkly gold-plated form shoes, and she failed and cursed. And so, it's a funny one.
It's kind of
great. There's a lot of humor in stories, so that means people have moved on. And if there is a feeling we want to create in visitors when they leave, it's just like it's great that you can live all these human experiences, even if they end badly, there is still hope, and if you are there, you better live it and enjoy it while it lasts. So humor is not rare. So people ask us, is this exhibition depressing? And I would say it's more testimony to human resilience and hope than, you know, like bad endings.
I see a little statue. I think somebody gave me something almost exactly like that as a wedding gift when I got married.
Really?
Yeah. Is that a voice?
Yeah.
10 years ago, we hit the dance floor, middle-aged, sex craze, betting and losing on a forever future. I like the short ones because they are...
To be concise.
Yeah. It's almost a poem.
Yeah. Okay. But sometimes people like really long stories that can also happen.
Okay. Well, I think that's all of the questions that I have. Is there anything you'd like to add? Anything else we should know?
We're fine. We could talk for hours, you know. We've been with this project for 10 years now, so. But that's just enough.
Maybe just the great thing about it is it's not just, you know, dead things, because we often meet people who have given us these collections, so you know the faces and the stories behind. So I think it's not, as any other museum, dusty objects about civilizations and people who are no longer here. This is about the people who are mostly still around. So, and that's fun. And I think museums can do that also and engage community in new ways.